Hallo, schön, dass du da bist, hier beim Podcast Happy, Holy and Confident, dein Podcast fürs Herz und den Verstand. Mein Name ist Laura Marlina Seiler und ich kann es gar nicht in Worte fassen, wie sehr ich mich freue, heute ein Interview mit dir teilen zu dürfen, von dem ich selber noch gar nicht glauben kann, dass ich es tatsächlich geführt habe. Für mich fühlt sich das noch an wie ein Traum. Und zwar durfte ich mit Neil Donald Walsh ein Interview führen. Und wenn du meinen Podcast schon länger hörst, dann hast du diesen Namen schon mal gehört, denn er ist der Autor von dem Buch Gespräche mit Gott. Und dieses Buch hat mein Leben komplett verändert und ich glaube auch von vielen, die hier jetzt gerade zuhören. Und Neil Donald Walsh ist der Autor von über 30 Büchern, die in sehr, sehr viele unterschiedliche Sprachen übersetzt worden sind, millionenfach verkauft worden sind und ja, also manchmal sind das wirklich so Fügungen im Leben. Es ist einfach so eine Ehre für mich gewesen, tatsächlich mit ihm sprechen zu dürfen. Das Interview hat über Skype stattgefunden. Es ist natürlich auf Englisch, weil Neil Donald Walsh Englisch spricht. Deswegen ist es das erste Interview, die erste Podcast-Folge, die auch nicht auf Deutsch ist, sondern auf Englisch. Ich hoffe, das ist für dich in Ordnung. Und es ist, ja, also Ich will gar nicht so viel vorwegnehmen. Ich glaube, ich brauche auch gar nicht so viel vorwegnehmen. Der Name spricht für sich. Dieser Mensch spricht für sich. Und ich wünsche dir ganz viel Freude, ganz viele tolle Erkenntnisse bei diesem Gespräch. Es ist ein unglaublich herzliches, berührendes, ehrliches Gespräch. Und ich war danach völlig wie, ja, ausgezoomt, so ein bisschen hatte ich das Gefühl. Ich war in einer ganz anderen Welt unterwegs danach und ja, ich freue mich einfach, es jetzt mit dir teilen zu dürfen. Genieß es, nimm dir die Zeit für dieses tolle Gespräch, nimm dir die Zeit für diesen Austausch mit Neil Donald Walsh und ja, wenn du das Buch noch nicht hast, bestell dir das Buch Gespräche mit Gott. Wir sprechen unter anderem auch über sein neues Buch, das heißt Band 4, Gespräche mit Gott. Auf Englisch ist es Awaken the Species, auf Deutsch ist es eine erwachte Gesellschaft, glaube ich. Ich gucke es aber sonst auch nochmal nach. Ich bin mir gerade gar nicht sicher, wie der Titel auf Deutsch ist, aber ich tue alle Links auch in die Shownotes. Und ja, ich sage jetzt einfach viel, viel Freude mit diesem Gespräch mit Neil Donald Walsh. So, Neil Donald Walsh, I'm so grateful to have you here in the podcast. It's my greatest pleasure. Thank you so much for taking your time. Thank you and welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to be here and I appreciate the invitation.
Thank you so much. So most of the people listening to my podcast know you very well because your book, Conversation with God, is one of the books I talked most about because it changed my life many years ago when I read it. And there are just so many questions I'm happy now to ask you. So when you wrote that book, and it's mainly about, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is how I understand it, but that you had this voice inside of yourself, which is God, and you went into a dialogue with God because you, at that point of life, you were a bit angry of life, or could I say angry with life, or how would you describe that situation of your life?
Well, I was angry. I was very angry because I was 50 years old and nothing in my life was working. My relationship with my significant other was falling apart. My career had reached a dead end and even my health was going rapidly downhill. And I wound up in an automobile accident in which I broke my neck. So it was, I almost died. So, and I walked around with a therapeutic collar to help me rehabilitate my neck for 18 months, a year and a half. So everything was going wrong at the same time. You know, some people have maybe relationship trouble, but at least their work is going okay. Or maybe they have some problem at work, but at least their relationship is not too bad. Or at least maybe everything else is going well, but maybe they have a little health problem, but everything else. But I had everything at the same time, my relationship, my work, and my health, all of it falling apart at once. And I thought, this isn't fair. I mean, I don't understand. Why does it have to be this way? You may not know this, or maybe you do know, but I wound up having to live on the street.
Yes.
For a year, not for a couple of weeks, you know, during a tough period, but for an entire year until I could pull myself together and find a little tiny little apartment, a tiny little house where I could live. So everything was going wrong. And I was very angry with God, because I had believed in God all of my life, and I had believed that God was on my side and that all I had to do was pray and things would work out. But things were not working out. So the answer to your question is, I was very, very angry.
Yeah. I have one question. When you said you always believed in God, before your conversation with God, was it a different kind of God you believed in, or was it always the same God? Was it more maybe before a God in a very religious sense, or was it always God how you describe it now, like a part of yourself?
No, well, of course not. It was God in a religious sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was born and raised in the Roman Catholic tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I had not really been a practicing Catholic since I was 19 years old, I had looked at other religions. I looked at the Lutheran religion. I looked at the Methodist religion. I looked at the Presbyterian religion. I looked at the Jewish religion. I looked at the Islamic religion. I looked at Buddhism. I really was searching, trying to find something about God that made sense to my soul.
Mm.
So, of course, before I had my conversation with God experience, I thought of God entirely differently than I experienced God after my conversation with God experience. It changed my entire life, and it changed the lives and the experience of God of several million people around the world.
Yes, yes, because you wrote by now over 30 books, and they are translated in so many languages, and you inspired, yeah, actually the entire world with your conversation with God, which is
yep.
Beautiful.
But I want you to know that I'm not bragging about that. I'm not boasting about that. That's simply a matter of fact, but
yeah.
I'm not boasting. But I do want to put that information out there to let people understand that when God says something, she means it. And what she said to me in conversations with God is, this will one day become a book.
Yeah.
And I became very clear after a while that the message was never meant just for me alone, but that it was meant for millions, literally for millions and millions of people.
Yes. Yes. So for everyone who didn't read your book yet and who goes like, okay, how, like, what does it mean to have a conversation with God? Maybe can you take us back a little bit of, back to that time when you started that conversation with God? If I remember it right, you wrote a letter. You were angry. You wrote a letter. You were angry with God, and you said, how comes that just everything is wrong? And then God answered. Is that right?
Yes. Well, what I was told in the conversation with God dialogue is that God talks to everyone all the time. The question is not to whom does God talk. The question is who's listening.
Yeah.
So it was made very clear to me that information that we received from God is being received by everybody all the time, but not in the same way. Like people don't have their interactions with God in exactly the same way. For me, it came in the form of first a voice, actually a voice outside of my body that I heard in the room, and then it moved. I want to say it moved inside my mind and began sounding to me like the voice of my own thoughts.
Mm.
I call it a voiceless voice, the voice of my own thoughts. For some people, it comes in the form of images or pictures. For some people, it comes in the form of feelings or emotions.
Mm.
For some people, it comes in some obvious ways, like maybe the sign on the billboard of when they drive around the corner and there's the answer to their question.
Yeah.
Or it could be the lyrics of the song that they just happen to hear on the radio when they're thinking about something they wish they could resolve.
Yeah.
So our interactions with God occur in different ways at different times of our life and in different moments. But I want to say that I was told that God is talking to all of us all the time. Now, in my case, I was writing this angry letter on a yellow legal pad, and I heard a voice over my right shoulder. And the voice said, "Neil, do you really want answers to all of these questions? Or are you just venting? Are you just getting it out?" And I looked around, and there was no one there. And I thought, oh, great. Now, not only am I angry, but I'm also going
insane.
But very quickly thereafter, within a moment, I began to feel overcome by a soft, gentle joy that actually brought tears to my eyes. I remember the moment that I began to weep with joy, as we sometimes weep when we're very, very happy about something. And then I heard the voice inside my head. I said, "I have so many questions. I don't understand." And God said, ask, I will give you answers. So I wrote down my questions. And as soon as I wrote down the question, the answer came to me. And what I had to do was fight. I had to fight the tendency. I had an idea that I should be not believing that this was happening.
Yeah.
So I had to fight disbelief.
Yeah.
And so I just let it happen. I let the answer come out, and then I asked another question. I let the answer just come right out on my yellow legal pad. And it was like taking dictation, honestly.
Mm.
And by the way, I've taught people how to do this. You can go to, your own CWG, which stands for Conversation with God. You can go to your own CWG.com on the internet, and you'll find a program there that allows you to have your own conversation
with God. I would put that in the show notes so that everyone can find the link and go there and do that.
Yeah. I hope that's the link. I think it's .com or .net or .org, one of those things.
I will find out. I think there's something you said which is very, very interesting, and this is a question I have very often, is I think every one of us has on the one side this natural feeling of belief, of this intuitive knowing that we are connected. Somehow, I think this is what everyone has inside of themselves. And
I
then...
agree. It's cellular. We know it at a cellular level. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. And here's the interesting thing, what you also just said is that on the other side, there is this doubt. There is this voice. Well, at least in my experience, there is this voice that says, but there is no proof. There is no, like, How do I know if it's safe to believe? How do I know if it's safe to trust? Or what you just said, right? You had to fight this impulse inside of yourself. There was like
temptation, a great temptation to just tell myself that none of it was actually happening and none of it was true.
Yeah. So how did you fight? Maybe it's not the right word, but if
surrender.
Okay.
I had to surrender, and how I did it was just let go for a moment of my let go of my disbelief.
Yeah,
I had to, what they say, suspend disbelief. Mm-hmm. Like when you watch a good movie, mm-hmm. or when you watch a good a television program, and you realize it's all made up, it's all a story, it's not really happening, it's a story made for television or made for the movies, but you allow yourself, while you're watching it, to suspend disbelief so that you can really step into the story and receive whatever message and whatever information and whatever emotion that the story can bring you to. So that's what I really did. Honestly, I just let go of my need or my temptation to disbelieve. And I thought, well, what if it were true? What if?
Mm.
And so then I just got my disbelief out of the way, temporarily. And I allow the information to come through. Well, that was a great door opening for me, because as the information came through and more came through and more came through, and of course you must understand that the more information I received, the more questions I had.
Yeah.
So I asked those questions and got more answers. Then I asked, yeah, but what about this? What about that? And I asked more questions and got more answers until I finally began to realize that the information I was accessing made total sense, even to my mind. It even convinced my mind, because the answers were so logical,
yeah,
and so simple,
yeah,
and so direct that they felt very true to me. And that was finally what convinced me that I was really accessing the source of wisdom and clarity that resides within all of us. And I call that source God.
Hmm. That is beautiful. Well, there were a lot of very important things in what you just said. One thing I would just like to go back to what you said about how we can surrender, so that everyone understands what you did is you imagined, you just did let go for a period of time. You allowed yourself to surrender into that new information without judging, maybe just by opening.
Yeah. It's an act of will.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's simply a choice you make. It's an act of will. It's willpower. Mm. You tell yourself, you know, I can always go back to judging. I can always go back to disbelieving, but just for a moment, maybe for an hour or two or a day or two, just for now, I'm going to just set that aside.
Yeah.
I like to make the example of a person who goes to the dentist. I don't know anybody who really enjoys going to the dentist. You know, we all have to go to the dentist once in a while. But when I was a child, I really, really, really didn't want to go. And I would cry, you know, when I had to go to the dentist, because it wasn't a pleasant experience for me. But as I grew older, I learned the art of simply surrendering. Okay, I'm in the dentist chair. It's not going to last forever. I'm going to live through it. It'll be fine. And I just let go of my resistance. By the way, Conversations with God gives us an interesting a piece of information about that. Conversations with God tells us what you resist persists.
Yeah.
And what you embrace, you know, what you look right at in the right directly, you know, ceases to have its illusory experience and can become very, very powerful and very real for you. So I let go of my resistance. I stopped resisting, and I just it was just a mental process. You asked, how do you surrender? By just deciding to. You simply just decide. All of us, I'll give you another example, a simple example. All of us have had arguments in our life. Well, maybe you have never had an argument with anybody.
No.
I can see you probably never have argued with anybody in your whole life. But most of the rest of us who are not angels like you have had arguments in their life with somebody.
Yeah.
And at some point, often we just decide in our mind, we don't say it out loud, we just decide, you know what?
Let it go. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need to continue to argue with this.
Yeah.
You know, this other person could be right. I don't need to be right. What if I just surrender and let it go?
Yeah.
So we have demonstrated, most human beings have demonstrated the ability to surrender. And when you say, how do you surrender? You just do. You simply make a decision. You make a choice. It's an act of will.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. It's just sometimes I have the impression that there's this rational mind who wants to have the proof right away. This is also, I think, the beauty in conversation with God, where you also really convinced me of where all of a sudden it all like clicked in every area, like the soul, the body, the mind, it all just clicked together, because it's so logical. It's so, yeah. God gives the answer of every question you can possibly have. And then you go, yeah, right, right, right. Which I personally think is why the book is so powerful, because it's just it's just in every level so convincing, or to me it was definitely too, yeah, that there was no question left at the end, sort of.
No, and you know, I know why God chose me. People often ask, why did God choose you? God chose me because I am the ultimate skeptic. I asked every question that any person would ever ask. Yeah. Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? What about this? How could that be? What about this? So, and the reason that the book appeals to so many people is I ask the questions that the average person would ask.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it became a very powerful dialogue.
Yeah. So talking about God, you already said to you, God is source, the source. For everyone who's still critical, especially here in Germany, God is a word. And to be honest with you, your book came to me, I think, about 7 years ago. And I was like, okay, this title is like, I don't know. You know, it was like Conversation with God. I don't know. So for four years, your book showed up everywhere to me, like at friends' places, in bookstores, everywhere I saw this book. And then one day I was like, okay, like there was a moment where I surrendered. I was like, okay, I get like my mind out of the way and maybe I should just read that book. And like I said, it changed my life.
Auf Deutsch oder auf Englisch?
Auf Deutsch. I read it in German. Yeah. Gespräche mit Gott. It's in German. Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Ich weiß.
Nice. But what I think is sometimes a problem, what I see is language, that we have a certain picture for a word, or that we hear a word and then we think certain things about that word. Like, for example, God is a word which is very poof, you know, it's like woof. And could you explain who is God, or how can we find God within ourselves to have this beautiful, loving relationship you have with God? Because I think it's so beautiful. Yeah.
Well, you know, sweetheart, the first thing I want to say is that I've been asked many times why I insisted on putting the word God in the title, because people said, you know, it pushes back. It pushes many people away from the book for the very reason you just said, that many people have a difficulty with that word alone, just the word, the pictures that it brings up for us. But I have said, you know what? This is an opportunity for us to rehabilitate the word God, to really heal humanity's pictures and thoughts and energies and ideas around just that word God. In fact, that was the first invitation that I received in the Conversations with God dialogue. An invitation, by the way, sent not just to me, but to everyone who reads the book. And the invitation is simply this: change the world's mind about God. Because if and when we change the world's mind about God, then we have an opportunity to change the world itself. Our understandings of everything else, our understandings of politics and economics and social systems and the whole way that the world operates would shift dramatically if we changed our mind about God. So the opportunity here and the invitation is to change the world's mind about God. I forgot the question. What was the question?
The question is: what is your definition of God? If you give us the invitation to change our mind about God, and you could give us the new picture, who is God? Who is God?
I always answer that question with a question of my own: who is God not? See, it's impossible to define God. As soon as we try to define God, we limit by the very nature of our words, by the very nature of thought itself. As soon as we seek to define God, we start to limit God, and we make God much smaller than God really is. So when I ask God the question, you know, how would I define you? Who are you? God said simply, there is nothing that I am not. And then God answered in another way. He said, all things are one thing. There is only one thing, and all things are part of the one thing there is. So there is only God. There is nothing that is not God. God is simply a word we use to describe the essential essence, the prime force, the pure energy that is life itself in all of its manifestations. But God is the purest form of that. Let me give you an example from human life. We've heard in the past 15 or 20 years more and more about this thing that medical science calls stem cells. Medical science is telling us now that there is such a thing as a stem cell, which is the undifferentiated cell of life itself that is present in the human body at birth. And throughout our life, stem cells arise in the body. They're undifferentiated. That is, they are not cells that have any characteristics. They're simply undifferentiated cells. And then, by means of a biochemical process of interaction, the stem cells are coaxed, if you put it that way, or caused to become differentiated. That is, they become cells of your mind, the brain cells, or cells of your heart or your lung or any other part of your body. So I say, God said to me, look, explain it to people this way. I am the stem cell of the universe.
That is a beautiful picture.
Yes, the undifferentiated energy that has not yet differentiated as you and me and the beautiful flowers in the garden and the stars in the heavens or everything else that exists in the physical universe.
Yeah. So what would you recommend if let's say God is everything that is, everything. How, and if I understood you right, it is also that when you wrote Conversation with God, it was not that God was something outside of yourself, then it was inside of yourself. It was a part of you, which is what you also said in every one of us. So how can we connect? How can we reconnect with that source and find it within ourselves? Do you have rituals you do on a daily basis, or is it a sort of prayer, meditation? What would you say is the best way to reconnect with the source within ourselves?
Well, there are two ways that I know of that are very powerful. Way number one is taught by every spiritual master and every spiritual teacher that I know of and that I've ever heard of, even from history. And that is to simply, I can put it in one word, stop. Just stop. Stop. Because the process of connecting, as you put it, reconnecting with what we call God, is a process of getting out of our mind. It's a process of opening ourselves to a different level of awareness. And the only way that I know, or the fastest way, the best way that I know of to do that is simply to stop. And so I invite people to do maybe 6 times a day what I call a stopping meditation. 1 minute a day, 6 times a day, 10 seconds each time, 6 times a day, let yourself have a 10 second stop and just don't do anything but breathe. Just pay attention to your breath for 10 seconds. It's really very powerful. And if you do it on schedule, it's not quite as powerful. But when you do it unexpectedly, abruptly, almost surprise yourself, sometimes in the middle of a sentence, sometimes in the middle of a what? just stop for 10 blessed seconds and breathe and focus on your own breath. And if you do that on a regular basis, 60 seconds a day, 6 times a day for 6 weeks, you will find yourself suddenly experiencing as a felt reality your connection with the larger aspect of life that we call divinity. And then you will find yourself wanting to stay in that place for more than 10 seconds. You'll say, how about if I do it for a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes? And then after a while, after a month or two, it'll feel so good. You'll say, I want to do that for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And if you're not careful, you may even wind up meditating in that way for a half hour or even an hour a day. And you won't even miss the time from what you thought you could not spare the time. You won't even miss the time. You will find your life enriched and expanded beyond belief. But it starts with small increments. It starts in small ways, 10 seconds at a time. Just stop. And you can do it, by the way, anywhere. You can do it on the street as you're walking down the street. You can do it on a subway. You can do it in the grocery store. You can actually do it in the bank, anywhere at all. No one even has to know what you're doing. It just looks like you're stopping to think about something. You just go off into a corner and just stop for 10 seconds. And it's amazing after a while what will happen when you train yourself to make that connection on a regular basis. Now, I said there were two ways. The second way that I know of that's powerful to make that reconnection is to cause or assist someone else to have that connection. That is, be the source of that connection for others. Conversations with God said something really powerful to me. It said, Neil, whatever you want to experience in your life, whatever you want to experience, more abundance, more happiness, more companionship, more patience, or more of a connection with me. Whatever you want to experience in your life, be the source of that experience in the life of another. Now, there's a reason why that works. That works because as you become the source of it in the life of another, you bring yourself the experience of something you thought you didn't have. And you suddenly make your mind aware of the fact, oh, I had that all along. Which is why I advise people who want to have a direct connection with God to teach someone else or be the source of someone else having their direct connection with God. Which is why I advise people who want to increase their abundance to go down the street and just give away little coins or paper money to people who don't have any. And make sure that nobody needs what you think you don't have. Give it to them, and you will experience that you have it yourself. This little device, this little trick, has the potential of changing your whole life.
Yeah, that is so beautiful.
Those are the two ways that I advise people to move toward a deeper, richer connection on a regular basis with divinity.
Thank you. So yeah, that it's so interesting. When I was listening to you, I was thinking that it's so interesting that we humans, I think we complicate things.
You think we complicate things?
that I think it's so easy, but we just think that if to make it the right thing, it somehow has to be complicated. Yeah, and that maybe for that reason, sometimes we miss the easy and the right way.
And then we miss the point and we miss the effect. I you know, we're all adults here, so I can say this, but I make the point in my audience, we do the same thing with sex. You know, we think it's all very complicated. We have to, got to do it right and get it right and have it happen this way and that way. And it has to produce a particular outcome. And it has to be, you know, and, but you know, the most magnificent way to experience the wonder and the glory of sexuality is to simply let it happen.
Yeah.
Just let it occur. And by the way, I bring that up because sex in English, S-E-X, synergistic energy exchange, is what we're talking about here in our relationship with God. Simply a synergistic energy exchange. And when we understand that all we're doing is exchanging energy with the source of energy itself, it suddenly becomes a very simple process.
And I think what you just said is very crucial, because I have the impression that one thought that made it very complicated for us to understand what God truly is, that we started to somehow make God human, that we had God as something human, that we wanted to put it in a body, or we like in a, for example, in a religious way, in the Catholic Church, it's like you have God, like this picture of God. And I think this made it then difficult for us to really get back to the true concept of what God is, that it is everything and not.
Well, no, I already know what God actually looks like. God is actually a male with flowing white hair, usually parted down the middle, often with a beard, a full white beard. And sometimes he wears glasses. Do you have any other questions, my dear?
Well, it's my pleasure to have a conversation with God himself. I wouldn't have thought that it is so early in my life. But do you know what I mean? That it made it difficult for that we put it in that concept and not understanding that it is not something like, you know, material.
Well, you know what God said to me was, I will take any form that makes me more understandable and more acceptable and more embraceable by you. If it serves you to think of me as an old man with a white beard and white hair, fine. If it serves you to think of me as a beautiful young lady with long flowing black hair that flows down her, fine. If it serves you to think of me as a pure energy that doesn't look like a human being, it's just an energetic force of light and love, fine. I will take any form that it serves you to help you to embrace and to accept and to experience divinity itself. So the wonderful part about God is that God is a shape shifter.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Has there been one answer God gave you that where it clicked for you? Like, has there been like one question or one answer where you've been like, whoa, like now I understand? Has there been maybe something which was particularly for you important, which you heard from God?
Absolutely. But I'm not telling you because it's a big secret.
Oh,
okay, I'll tell you.
Thank you. No one else will know.
No. Yes, of course. Yeah. I asked God a simple question. Why isn't my life working? I don't understand. Why isn't my life working? And I remember the answer that I received, because God even chuckled a little bit. It wasn't laughing derisively, but laughing, you know, with me. She just said, Neil, it's really very simple. You think your life is about you. And your life has nothing to do with you. Your life is about everyone else whose life you touch and the way in which you touch it. When you understand that, everything else will fall into place. But as long as you are focused on you, on you, on you, what you think you need, how you think you have to be happy, what you think you require, how you even think that you're doing in life, whether you're successful or whether, as long as you think your life is about you, you will have missed the point completely. And the point that you missed is that you were complete, whole, and perfect when you arrived. You didn't need to do anything. But I understand you were taught by your world that you did. But now it's your opportunity to teach those whose lives you touch who they really are, that they too were whole, complete, and perfect the moment that they arrived. Do this, and you will give people back to themselves. And when they reclaim themselves and reclaim their own divinity, the world will be transformed. I could, of course, be wrong about all of this, but I don't think so.
Me neither. And I mean, your life is the proof, I would say.
Right? I don't know about that. People who look at my life may say that I talk a better game than I walk, that I speak it better than I act it. And I would agree with them. I don't think looking at my life in the way it actually functions would be a good thing to do if you're looking for a model. But if you simply listen to what I've been given to share, it might be of some assistance. I am facing the biggest challenge of my life right now. And that challenge is to live into and to live up to what I have been given to share.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I don't experience it. I don't want people to think that I experience it as a drudgery, as a burden. It really is a great joy to step into the living of the highest level of divinity that all of us can express is a great joy in life.
Yeah.
When I die, I've told all of my family, my friends, my loved ones, exactly what I want to have engraved in stone on my gravestone. I only want 4 words in English on my gravestone. Now that was fun.
That is a good one. I like that. Yeah, I think you're on a good way, don't you think?
I have had fun.
Yes,
and it's been a wonderful, joyous trip.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
Very grateful.
What are you most grateful for at the moment?
Other than God in my life, which is number one. But if I take that off the list just for the sake of discussion, my wife, she is the single most blessed gift I have ever received from life. She has ended the loneliness of my soul. Many people can end the loneliness of your mind. Many people can end the loneliness of your body. But very few people can end the loneliness of your soul. When I am with my beloved wife, Melinda, who I call M, the loneliness of my soul is dissolved. And I feel companioned at the level of my soul. For the first time in my life, we've been together now 10 years, and it has been 10 of the most blessed years of my life. I'm very, very grateful. And I tell her how grateful I am every single day in those words. We all say, I love you. Ich liebe dich. We all say, I love you to each other. but I want her to understand in different words. So I say to her every day, I am more grateful for you than anything else in my life. Thank you. Thank you for being in my life.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you. I think she must be a very blessed woman that she has a man who's telling her that as well, because I think it's beautiful to have that connection. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I have one more question regarding your new book. You wrote a book, Awaken the Species, which is about how we as a planet, as a species, could transform in the world. What would you say could we do as an individual to help the species to awaken?
Yes. First of all, if I might gently offer a more accurate title, the book is titled Conversations with God, Book 4. Awaken the Species is really the subtitle. Okay. It's the, they call the drop line or the sub. So if people look for the book, Awaken the Species, they won't find it.
Okay.
The book is called Conversations with God -Book 4: Awaken the Species.
Okay.
Now, what can the average person do? Self-select. That is, select ourselves. No one is going to come along and appoint us. No one is going to come along and knight us, like the king isn't going to knight us. No one is going to come along and appoint us. We need to select ourselves to be exemplars, to be models. How we can awaken the species is by being a model of the kind of thought, words, and behavior that we would choose the species to embrace and adopt and express.
Yeah.
I mean, Gandhi put this very simply. Gandhi said, be the change you want to be.
Yeah.
Conversations with God says the same words in different ways. Self-select, become a model, become an exemplar, become an example in everything you think and say and do. That's all that all the great spiritual masters ever did. That's all that Buddha ever did. That's all that Muhammad ever did. That's all that Jesus ever did. That's all that Mother Teresa ever did. That's all that Hildegard of Bingen ever did. That's all that all the great spiritual masters, male and female, through the centuries have ever done. All they've ever done is to simply say, watch what I'm thinking, saying, and doing. Watch carefully. And then if it seems to serve you, feel free to imitate me. I want to suggest something. The adaptation of our species through the years has been a very slow process. We've adapted, but over a period of many millennia, many thousands of years, because the adaptation of our species has been a process of genetic transfer. It's been a biological process. In other words, from one generation to the next, we transfer certain genetic information. And after a while, slowly, slowly but surely, the human race begins to adapt its behaviors. But that process of adaptation takes centuries and millennia. Now, because of the level of evolution that we have finally attained, we have the ability to use a different method of data transfer. Not the genetic biological method from father to son, mother to daughter, generation to generation, but a transfer of information not by adaptation, but by imitation. Imitation will replace adaptation. as the process of our evolution. When we see something we like, we now have the ability to imitate it quickly. The internet, the World Wide Web, has given us that opportunity. We've seen, because of the internet, how quickly an idea can go viral, how rapidly an idea can become the next best thing. A style can become worldwide in a month. A phrase that people start to use can fall into our language virtually overnight. We imitate behaviors that we admire, and we imitate them quickly. We don't have to wait for 200 years of biological transfer of genetic data. We imitate them overnight. So now we are at the edge of the greatest possibility humanity has ever faced, the ability to change our most challenging and self-damaging behaviors virtually overnight by simply imitating others who have already done so. What that will require is a team of people, a group of people who have agreed to be a model for those behaviors. And in order to do that, they would have to self-select, because no one's going to appoint you or me. We have to choose ourselves. Yeah. I've created a place on the internet called ihaveselfselected.com. ihaveselfselected.com. There I have placed resources where people who choose to select themselves to model the behaviors that could alter humanity's destiny may find assistance and resource material that will help them to do so. So that's the answer to your question.
Thank you.
What can we each individually do to help to awaken the species? We can select ourselves to model behaviors that we would like to see imitated.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I have final questions I ask everyone who is a guest in my podcast show. And the question is, imagine, how old do you want to get? How old, for how long do you want to live here in this body on this earth?
I don't have a number.
Okay.
Because I am not attached to a particular outcome.
Okay. So
I want to live in a way that each day could be my final day, and I would feel when I put my head back down for the last time, yes, I came as close as I possibly could to doing what I came here to do.
Beautiful.
And what I came here to do was not to do something in particular in the world of doingness. What I came here to do was to be something. I came here to be. We are human beings, not human doings. So I came here to be, or to get as close as I can to being who I really am, an individuation of divinity, an expression of eternal, everlasting, and divine love. Have I achieved that in my life? No, of course not. But do I know for the first time in my life what I'm really trying to do? Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you. Has there been a book you read that changed your life in a way that your book changed millions of lives? Has there been a book that inspired you?
Yes, and surprisingly, it was not a particularly spiritual book. It was actually a science fiction book.
Okay.
I read it many, many years ago, maybe 35, 40 years ago. It was a book written by a man named Robert Heinlein, H-E-I-N-L-E-I-N, Robert Heinlein. The book is called A Stranger in a Strange Land. It's a science fiction fantasy about an entity who came to Earth from Mars. He was an earthling, a human being who had been sent off, who was born on Mars by parents who were on a Martian mission. It's a science fiction fantasy, but it's a delicious story. And the parents, the spaceship landed on Mars, and the parents gave birth to the child. But the parents died, and the child was raised by Martians. Then he was ultimately, when he grew into adulthood, sent back to Earth. And so he had an entirely different idea about what life was really about, the purpose of life, and what it was all for, than Earthlings do. And the story is about how he managed to integrate into Earth life and what he shared with those who became his friends. It's a fascinating story, but of course it's just science fiction. But I was maybe 25 or 29, perhaps 30 years old when I read it. And I remember I was so deeply touched. I thought, oh my goodness. Because what Robert Heinlein did was he used the tactic, he used the literary device of science fiction to get across a message about what life on Earth could be like if we simply dropped our ancient stories. And so that's the answer to your question.
Thank you.
The book is called A Stranger in a Strange Land.
Thank you. I will put it in the show notes as well. Thank you very much. And where I wanted to get with the question how long you want to live is imagine there has been a technical problem and your website doesn't exist anymore. All your books somehow deleted. So there's nothing left from all your knowledge. And I would be there. I would come to you and I would give you a paper, a white paper, a pen. And I would ask you and say, okay, on this paper, you can write three things, three of your wisdoms. If nothing else would be left of you as your knowledge on this planet, what would you write down? What would be your three most important things you would want humanity to know?
Love is all that matters. Your life is not about you. And trust God.
Thank you. Thank you so much. For everyone who was listening now to this interview, how can we get in touch with you? What would be, you said the website, I will put that link in the show notes. Is there anything else you would like people to go to check, to read, to do? Is there anything you would people guide to?
Go inside.
Okay.
If you do not go within, you go without. So don't go without the knowledge that you will find within. Okay. If there's one thing that I would wish that people would do, it would be to go within, go inside. As often as you can, find that 10 seconds, 6 times a day. Maybe it'll be finally 10 minutes. Maybe it'll even be 30 minutes or an hour after a while. Make it your discipline to go within. There you will find the peace that passeth all understanding.
Thank you. Neil, thank you so much. I feel so blessed to have the opportunity to talk to you, that you shared all of this beautiful wisdom. And yeah, I don't know how to put it into words, but I hope you can feel my appreciation. And thank you so much for you having this connection to God within you, and for showing us a way how we can connect as well. So thank you so much for this interview.
You're very welcome. And of course, we all have this connection with God within us. It's not like I have this connection with God within me. Every single human being already has this connection. You don't have to try to create it or to achieve it. You simply have to choose to use it. Choose to use your connection. Yeah. Have your own conversation with God in whatever way speaks to you and through you. And you'll surprise yourself.
Thank you.
Ich hoffe sehr, dass dir dieses Gespräch gefallen hat, dass du dich jetzt genauso fühlst, wie ich mich nach dem Interview gefühlt habe, dass du dieses Gefühl von tiefer Liebe, Glückseligkeit und Freude in dir spürst. Danke nochmal an dieser Stelle auch an Neil Donald Walsh, dass er das möglich gemacht hat, dass wir miteinander sprechen konnten. Und ich will das jetzt einfach, glaube ich, auch einfach so stehen lassen, dieses Gespräch. Und ich hoffe, dass es etwas in dir bewegen konnte. Wenn du das Buch noch nicht hast, bestelle es dir gerne, Gespräche mit Gott. Ich tue die Links dafür auch in die Shownotes. Es gibt es auch als Hörbuch. Und ansonsten wollte ich dir noch sagen, dass du dich jetzt in die Warteliste eintragen kannst für die Rise Up and Shine University, wenn du tiefer in diese ganzen Themen einsteigen möchtest. Ab nächster Woche, ab dem 1. Februar oder dem 31. Januar, ich bin mir noch nicht ganz sicher, wann wir loslegen werden, werden sich wieder die Türen und Tore öffnen für das Online-Programm, die Rise Up and Shine University. Wenn du da gerne dabei sein möchtest, dann trag dich in die Warteliste ein. Das ist natürlich unverbindlich, aber du kriegst dann einfach von mir Bescheid, wann der Early Bird wieder startet. Und ich würde mich wahnsinnig freuen, wenn du dabei bist. Und genau, trag dich einfach in die Warteliste ein, schau bei mir auf der Webseite vorbei. Und das Allerwichtigste ist natürlich, dass du jetzt dein Handy in die Hand nimmst oder nachher, wenn du dich danach fühlst, dein Handy in die Hand nimmst, kurz bei mir bei Instagram oder bei Facebook vorbeischaust und mir bitte unter das Bild schreibst, was du für dich mitgenommen hast, was war für dich der wichtigste Satz aus diesem Gespräch, was hat es für dich verändert, was hat es für dich bewegt. Und ja, ich bin einfach schon ganz aufgeregt, von dir zu hören und zu hören, was das mit dir gemacht hat. Und ich genieße diesen Austausch immer sehr, weil ich dich ja leider immer nicht sehen kann. Aber zumindest habe ich dann die Möglichkeit, über Instagram oder über Facebook ja, zu wissen, wer den Podcast hört, was du darüber denkst, was du für dich mitgenommen hast. Und genau, also ich freue mich. @ Laura Marlina Seiler findest du mich auf Instagram, @ Laura Seiler Coaching auf Facebook. Schau vorbei. Und ansonsten wünsche ich dir einen riesengroßen, wunderschönen Tag, wenn man das so sagen kann. Und für mich geht es nächste Woche nach Südafrika. Ich bin nächste Woche ab der nächsten Podcast-Folge in Kapstadt und werde da eine kreative Auszeit nehmen, das neue Buch schreiben. Und genau, das heißt, ab nächster Woche gibt es dann Folgen wahrscheinlich aus Kapstadt. Und bis dahin, lass es dir einfach gut gehen. Du bist ein Geschenk für diese Welt. Ich denke an dich, ich umarme dich und es ist so schön, dass es dich gibt. Rise up and shine und rock on und Namaste, deine Laura.